Let us hear God's word. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Saviour of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And then over in Hebrews 13 and verse 4, these familiar words where we begun this part of this series. Marriage is honourable in all and the bed undefiled. Marriage is honourable in all and the bed undefiled. Dear congregation, we come again to consider this vital subject of marriage. Now, over the past few months, we have considered different aspects relating to it. First of all, that marriage was instituted by God. Secondly, that marriage is honourable, it's precious, it's valuable, held as precious to the Lord, and ought to be held as precious by the couple, and then all having a high view of it. Thirdly, marriage for the glory of God. Whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Fourthly, we consider that marriage is a covenant. Fifthly, marriage and companionship. Sixthly, marriage and trust. Seventhly, marriage and the avoidance of sin. And then coming up to last week, we considered the husband's special duty of love in marriage. Well, this week I'd like us to briefly consider the wife's special duty in marriage and then some concluding points of application. So first of all then, the special duty of the wife in marriage, and then we'll conclude tonight this part of the series on some points of application. We read in verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, in setting out this special duty, the apostle, as he does with the special duty of the husband, gave under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit a great example. And the example is the church submitting to Christ. Notice verse 23, here's the great example. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Saviour of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. See there the example? Remember last week, the example for the husband, verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So as we saw that the husband is to be considering the great example, so the wife is to be considering a great example in seeking to fulfil her duty. Well, we have here then the special duty of the wife in marriage. You recall last week the special duty of the husband was love. Well, this week the special duty of the wife is to submit or submission. The last week we considered certain mutual duties between the husband and the wife. And it's helpful to consider these, not only in view of the duty then of the husband, then also the duty of the wife. The mutual duties are a help in view of the special duties as well. So let's just briefly recount these and go over them. Firstly, love. And as we saw last week, love is the special duty of the husband. But there is to be mutual love, a real, sincere, tender and abundant love. Colossians 3 verse 19, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. And then Titus 2 verse 4, that they may teach the young woman to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Both are to faithfully show love one to another. It's to be demonstrated in spiritual ways, practical ways, and physical ways as well. Love. Now think of that mutual duty of love. The husband is to have love. Yes, he's to have that special love, particularly seen. But he's to have that love. the wife is to have that love. What an aid love is to the fulfilling of the special duty for the husband, to have love in the heart and to so act and govern in a loving way. Think of the wife. It's a help to her as she seeks to submit her special duty that she has love in the heart. So the mutual duty of love. Secondly, prayer. And straight away you see the great blessing of prayer in view of the special duties of marriage, and this one we're considering tonight. Remember those words in 1 Peter 3 verse 7, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honour unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. How important prayer is there. Thirdly, faithfulness. And again, this is a help in view of the special duties. Faithfulness, this mutual duty. 1 Corinthians 7 verse 2, nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Fourthly, kindness. Or this old word, not easy to pronounce, is it, for some? Benevolence, kindness, or benevolence. This respect there, particularly as we noted there in 1 Corinthians 7, a kindness shown in a physical, intimate way. And again, that is a help in view of the special duties, health permitting. Fifthly, helping one another. Remember those words in Genesis 2 verse 18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that a man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. A helpmeet. A blessing to Adam. But we know also that Adam would be a blessing to Eve and seek to help her. She would particularly be known for helping him, but he would help her as well. Mutual help. And this is plainly seen in 1 Peter 3 verse 7. Likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honour unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. And in giving that honour, he will seek to help where he can. Yes, the wife was given to Adam, Eve was given to Adam rather, to be a help to him. But see there, the help, the husband is also to be towards the wife. To help in spiritual duties and in practical things as well. Help where you can. So then these mutual duties, which we see in Scripture, are an aid to help the husband in his special duty and also the wife in her special duty. Well, tonight we consider the special duty of the wife, submission. The special duty of the wife, submission. And just before we begin to look at this in a little more detail tonight, with some this is a very unpopular subject. But it is the special duty that we see in the Word of God. Four brief things tonight, and then we'll come to some concluding points of application on marriage. Four brief points. Firstly, the God-given duty. The fulfilling of the duty. Secondly, thirdly, the example of Christ and the church. And fourthly, the help of the husband. The God-given duty. The fulfilling of the duty. The example of Christ and the church. And fourthly, the help of the husband. First of all, the God-given duty. Just note these words here. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. What is the duty? Well, it's submitting, isn't it? The special duty. Or we could say submission. Love, particularly for the husband. Here we see submission for the wife. And as we see in 1 Timothy 2 verse 13, the woman was made after man. There we read, for Adam was first formed, then Eve. She was made for the glory of God, but also for man. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. We read in 1 Corinthians 11 verse 8 and 9, for the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. You see what the Lord is teaching there? Then going back to Genesis 2 verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. The woman for the man. And as we note those verses, we plainly see the order. The man is the head, and the woman was made for man. Richard Steele, the Puritan, who lived from 1629 to 1692, and I recommend his short little booklet on marriage, he wrote this: this order was not man's doing, but God's. This order was not man's doing, but God's. And this needs to be remembered. Man did not appoint the order. God appointed the order. This order stands even after the fall of mankind. You call those familiar words in Genesis 3 verse 16. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. The fall of mankind had taken place, the order still stood. Man was given that place of authority, and so the husband today has that place of authority. Not a tyrannical authority, so as to treat the wife as a slave, but a loving authority for her benefit. And as we considered last week, that duty, we think particularly the special duty of love, but there is that duty of authority for the husband. It's a loving authority. A loving authority. It's interesting, isn't it? When certain ones criticize this teaching and say, well, the woman submitting to the man, they forget that the man is to exercise a loving authority. Such words ought to be used. A loving authority for her benefit. Let husbands be warned, an unloving authority has no place in the marriage. An unloving authority has no place in the marriage. It's not biblical. It's not scriptural. A loving authority does know. And we see that plainly, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives. Go back to verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife. He's the head. Husbands, love. It's a loving authority. And so he is to have that loving authority for her benefit. Now God has given this duty for the husband. But we also see that God has given that duty for the wife. We see the order. It's a God-given duty for the wife. And let that be undermined. It's not that man devised it. God planned it and instituted and gave the duty. God has placed the husband as the head, and he is to exercise a loving authority over his wife. Just read again verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the saviour of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in every thing. Daniel Rogers, the Puritan, wrote, the warrant of this duty stands not in opinion, choice, or will of man, but it is a firm law from the will of the first ordainer. And then he goes on to write, because God would have it so. Because God would have it so. We can consider that the husband has the loving authority that was so ordered by God, and that the wife is to submit unto that loving authority is ordered by the Lord. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now just note those words at the end of verse 22. It's so important. As unto the Lord. The wife is to consider the Lord. for he gave this special duty. And in seeking to fulfill her duty, she ought to have a desire to be pleasing the Lord. It's very interesting, isn't it, when we consider the husband's special duty, he's to be considering Christ. The wife, in considering her special duty, is to be doing likewise. Notice verse 22. As unto the Lord. She above all things, in fulfilling her duty, is to have an eye for the glory of God or Christ. To be aiming at pleasing him. How unpopular that is with some, isn't it? With many unbelievers. Many balk at such teaching tonight, and would further balk that I'm to submit to please God. But that's what we see here. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. But is that not an aid for the wife in considering her duty? She's to be doing it for the glory of Christ, the glory of God. And dear brethren, husbands here, is it not an aid for us in considering our duty that we're to be considering Christ? Husbands, love your wife even as Christ. As we think of this special duty tonight, oh, for a heavenly mind. That's so necessary, isn't it? No wonder so many unconverted people will balk at such things, because they have no concern for the Lord. But we so ought to be concerned for the Lord's glory. So the wife, in seeking to do her duty, is to have an eye towards the Lord, is to have an eye towards the glory of Christ, as unto the Lord. But there's more here. If she is to be aiming at pleasing God, she cannot obey in something that is sinful. If she is to be aiming at pleasing God, she cannot obey in something that is sinful. Let me use a simple illustration. If her husband told her to go and lie, she must put God first, for lying is sin. Listen again to the Puritan Richard Still. If he command her to do anything that is sinful by the law of God, she must modestly and resolvedly refuse it. Daniel Rogers, the Puritan, wrote, she must in all humble modesty refuse. If the husband told her to do something that is sinful, she must submit to God. Note these words here. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now the Lord has given the duty. Wives, submit. Yet if the husband told his wife to do something that is wrong, she must look to the higher authority again. She must obey God. Remember those words in Acts 4, verse 19 and verse 20. Peter and John were before the council, and they said this, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than to God, judge ye. And then on a later occasion before the council again, Peter said, we ought to obey God rather than man. You see the principle there? And we see the principle here. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband, that to be aiming at pleasing the Lord, as unto the Lord. But if the husband told the wife to do something that is against the law of God, she must turn and refuse. I must obey my heavenly husband first. I must obey God. Having said this, let us remember this special duty has been given by the Lord. Secondly, the fulfilling of the duty. The fulfilling of the duty. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Submit. The Greek word has the meaning to be subject, to obey, to be in subjection. Now, in considering this duty, there are some particular words to help us understand and help the wife in fulfilling her duty. First of all tonight, a respect or honour is to be shown to the husband. A respect or honour is to be shown to the husband. Come with me to verse 33. You'll see this at the end of the chapter. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Now we note there the special duty of love. Love his wife. And then we consider this submitting. And here we read, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. So plainly, going back to verse 22, we see that in submitting, there is to be this respect or this honour shown. See that she reverence her husband. Now the word reverence there from the Greek can be translated as fear. You wives here tonight, you're not to have a slavish fear of your husband. No. And if ever a wife is put into that situation, it would be wrong. It's not what the apostle is teaching here, no. The word reverence, fear, speaks of a reverential regard, a respect. There's a difference here. Not a slavish fear. And we must pray for those wives who know such a slavish fear because of the unkindness of their husbands. But that's what not the fear we're thinking of here. It's a reverential regard, a respect. 1 Peter 3 verse 1, likewise ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, that they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. And then verse 5 and verse 6, for after this manner in the old time the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. You see the respect there? Sarah had a respect for Abraham. She had an honour. It's interesting, in the Esther 1 verse 20, we read these words. And when the king's decree which he shall make shall be published throughout all his empire, for it is great, all the wives shall give to their husbands honour, both to great and small. In the Old Testament, this respect, this honour. So in properly fulfilling this duty, a loving respect will be shown. And it's a loving respect. How important that duty is on this duty. Titus 2 verse 4, that they may teach the young woman to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. There's to be love. So when we consider this submitting, it is to be a loving respect towards their husband. As we considered earlier, a loving authority, so there is to be a loving respect. Love must cover both. A loving respect. But the second word, as we think of this special duty of submission, is obedience. There's two words here particularly. Respect or honour. And then secondly, obedience. Back to 1 Peter 3 verse 6. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. It's all there, isn't it? There was that respect and she obeyed. One is to have a respect, a loving respect, and there's to be obedience. That is how one will be seeking to fulfill the duty. And then Titus 2 verse 5, these words of instruction, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Obedient. To obey. Obeying in light of the word of God for God's glory. Respect and obedience. Wives should not argue with lawful instruction. There should be a meekness and a readiness to obey that which is right. Now the husband must be so careful when he asks his wife to do something, or he makes plain that she is to submit, he must be so careful, because he must speak in a right way, and it must be for God's glory. He You know, it's a vast subject, isn't it? Whatsoever we do, do all to the glory of God, even our eating and drinking. That's why it's good that we don't have the television on when we eat and drink, because our minds can be distracted. It's good to spend as a family, isn't it, time around eating and drinking without distraction, because we're to be doing things for the glory of God. Everything for the glory of God. And so the husband, in seeking to ask his wife to do something, must be aiming at the glory of God. It must be said in the right way and be for God's glory. And the wife, for the glory of God, should meekly respect him, lovingly respect him, and meekly obey. There may be difficult things he asks his wife to do. Maybe something difficult in the family. He needs to help her. To help her so that she can respect and obey him. It may be there comes a time when he must ask his wife to be careful in view of financial things. Wife, dearest, whatever, be careful. He must speak in a right way. There are difficult things he must deal with. He must, in a humble way, lead. He must, in a humble way, ask. There are difficult things. But let the husband ask his wife to do some easier things as well. Like putting your feet up and having a rest. And you wives, you willingly respect to that as well. You willingly respect that and obey. You husbands, there are certain things you've got to ask your wife to do, and it won't be easier for her to do. Make sure you're asking her to do many easy things as well. There is to be obedience, respect and obedience. And as we think of this obedience, an obedience from the heart. An obedience from the heart. The more I look at this subject, the more I recognize that I, as a husband, must be heavenly minded as I conduct myself and as I speak. And you who are wives, you too need to be heavenly minded all the time in these things. Thirdly tonight, the example of Christ and the church. The example of Christ and the church. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the saviour of the body. Christ is the head of the church. Here's the example then. He's the head. The church is his body and subject to him. That's what it ought to be. He is the head and king of the church. We, dear brethren, are to acknowledge his authority and bow the knee. And are we not in a deep respect of Christ? As we considered last Lord's evening, he's precious. We esteem him. We have this awe of him. And do not we purpose in our hearts to obey him? Remember those words of Mary at the marriage of Cana. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And again we consider what we're to be doing. We fail. But oh, it is the desire of our souls to submit unto Christ. He is the head. We are the body, and we're to be found submitting. And dear brethren, do not we seek to obey him also out of love? If ye love me, keep my commandments. Out of love then. Will we consider the church submitting to Christ? Here's the example for the wife. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the saviour of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in every thing. So amazing, isn't it? We considered husbands last week, did we not? We're to be considering Christ every day. In the way we live and as we seek to lead in the marriage. We're to be considering Christ. You wives, you're to be considering the example of the church and submission to Christ. Considering that Christ is the head. And as we think of this further, one is to be submitting to Christ and then also to their husband. To Brethren, we see how we're to have an eye towards Christ in these special duties. The wife is to submit to Christ and then also to her husband. The Puritan Thomas Manton wrote, Thomas Manton, the woman is first to submit herself to Christ and in love to him to subject herself to her husband. Consider Christ's example. Bow the knee to him and submit to the husband. The special duty of the wife, submission. Fourthly, the help of the husband. The help of the husband. And I would suggest that the help of the husband is seen in verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. A husband is not to be a tyrant. He's to be a loving head. And that is a help to his wife. In helping the wife to fulfill her duty, let the husband be aiming so much at fulfilling his special duty of love. Wives submit, but let the wives see their husbands aiming at their special duty, aiming to consider Christ in their special duty. Husbands, love your wives. An unloving husband and a husband acting in an unloving way will make it harder for his wife to focus on and fulfill her duty. Think of a husband always shouting. It's not going to be easy for the wife, is it? A loving husband who acts in a loving way is a great help to her in fulfilling her duty. He who treats his wife in a loving way will find that she finds it easier to submit to him. The husband wants his wife to be doing that which is right, so he must be doing that which is right for her as well. Let the husband not be a stumbling block to his wife. And as you think of this duty, and husbands here tonight, as you think of this special duty that has been given to your wife, do not be a stumbling block to her. Do not make it hard for her. She is seeking to fulfill this special duty for the glory of God. Do not be a stumbling block to her. Do not make it difficult for her. Aid her and ask her that she might pray for you in fulfilling your special duty. Well, we thought of love here tonight. The love of the husband is an aid to the wife. So if you think of this special duty that the wife has, you husbands, speak kindly to your wives in love. Help them. Pray for them. Pray for her. If there needs to be a word of reproof, say it in a loving way. Bitter words, husbands here tonight, we need to get on our knees and ask the Lord to forgive us for. Every word should be said in love, for that will aid the wife in her duty. Let the wife see her husband fulfilling his duty. This will be an example to her. Well, we come to a conclusion now. We've studied the special duties briefly, but just now, as we conclude this part in the series, the part on marriage, just some points of application as we bring all these things together over these last few months. Firstly, let all remember marriage is God's institution, honourable, and so it is to be defended. Let all remember marriage is God's institution, honourable, and so let it be defended. In great wisdom he instituted marriage for his glory and for the benefit of mankind. Dear brethren, let's defend it. Defend that marriage is between one man and one woman. Defend it, because it is your Maker's institution. And it is for the good of mankind. It's honourable, precious, valuable, to be esteemed. We who are married here tonight, hold it as precious. And therefore, as we think of that, you husbands, ever hold your wife as precious. And you wives here, hold your husband as precious. It's honourable, precious, valuable. God holds it with great esteem. He values it. Let us value it as well. Secondly, let couples be seeking to act for the glory of God in their marriages. If we think of the duties tonight, our chief aim is the glory of God. And I find that a great aid in seeking to do what is right as a husband. Be aiming at the glory of God. Those words again in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 31. Whatsoever therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Over the last few days, I was going to say weeks, but really days, I've been presented with many slices of cake. Lovely cake. It's a benefit to me that my children were born all around the same time. Have I ate those pieces of cake for God's glory? Very humbling, isn't it, when we think of that. Whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. In the marriage, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Praying and other spiritual things, practical things as well, and physical things, all for the glory of God. That's to be our aim. And I say again, as we think of the glory of God, that is a great aid to the husband in view of his special duty, and it's a great aid to the wife in view of her special duty. Thirdly, let all remember marriage as a covenant, and therefore to be treated seriously in the fear of God. This is so put to one side today. It's interesting, if you look at sermon audio, that particular sermon was listened to by many. Marriage, a covenant. And it shows the seriousness, does it not? Remember those words in Malachi 2 verse 14. Yet ye say, wherefore? Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. Yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. A serious thing, a solemn thing. But a covenant that brings forth much joy. The wife of thy covenant. Fourthly, let the couples seek to live joyfully as they are companions. Let the couples seek to live joyfully as they are companions. Ecclesiastes 9 verse 9. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest. Live joyfully. We're told in Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let there be much rejoicing over Christ in our marriages. Live joyfully. And then let there be other causes for joy. Let there be much happiness in as far as possible. Yes, there are times of sorrow. But live joyfully. Seek to be happy. Laugh together. A time to laugh and a time to weep. There are many times of weeping. But the Lord in his mercy gives us times of laughing. I was reading the other day those words of Sarah, God hath made me to laugh. Thank God for those times when you laugh in your marriages. Seek to know times of joy. The couples seek to live joyfully as they are companions. What a blessed thing to have a companion. We pray for those who have not the companion there. Seek to live joyfully. That's what God tells you. Husbands then, quickly put bitter thoughts to one side. Repent of them. Because that will not be an aid to the marriage. And you wives, seek to respect in that loving way so there can be further joy. Fifthly, let couples prayerfully consider their duties and seek to perform them through divine help. We're to be considering the duties, those of us who are married. It's not to be a once a year reading of Ephesians. We're to be considering these things often. So vital. Yes, it's good at a wedding anniversary to read such verses, but read them at other times. Consider the duties, being reminding each other in a loving way of their duties. Sixthly, let husbands and wives display much humility. Now, we have considered Christ here in these verses. Christ is the head. We've also considered Christ and his love. There's lessons there for the husband, there's lessons there for the wife. Consider the other lessons we learn from Christ, from Matthew chapter 11. Come unto me, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Consider the meekness. Oh, let the husband and the wife consider Christ and display much humility. That's so important. You wives here, do you continue on an argument? Be honest before the Lord. Or do you display humility? You husbands here, do you suddenly speak out and say bitter words? Be honest before the Lord. Or do you seek to display humility? There are times when the husband and wife need to get humbly down on their knees and ask for forgiveness and ask for strength and grace to be humble towards each other. Seventhly, pray. Pray that this institution be upheld. It's been under attack so much in recent days and years in this country. Pray that this institution be upheld. Pray for those that are married. Pray for those who plan to get married. And those who plan, let them spend much time in prayer. Pray for those who have lost their loved ones, who no longer have their husband or their wife. Pray. There's much to pray about, isn't there? You who've got grandchildren, you can pray about the future if it's the Lord's will. The grandchildren might be blessed if it's the Lord's will. And there's many others around us, there's many in this nation, there's much to pray for. We pray that so many marriages may be so blessed by the Lord, that so many wives and husbands in this country would be found crying out to the Lord for mercy and coming to faith in Jesus Christ. Let's pray for these things. There's so many unhappy marriages, isn't there? We need to pray that many marriages would be blessed in this nation again. And that will be to the blessing of many children as well. How many broken homes there are. Just consider the children that come to the youth meeting on Fridays. How many of them come from broken homes? Pray for marriages. Eighthly, let love blossom in the marriage. Let love blossom in the marriage. It won't be long before we see the trees. And I'm thinking of the cherry trees. There used to be some great cherry trees down at Ipsley. They were cut down. New ones have been planted and they're growing. And the blossom is coming, but it's not quite as it used to be on those big trees. But soon we'll see the blossom. It's blossom. Blossoms coming forth. We'll let love blossom in the marriage. Love is such a key. Is it not? We've seen that. It's one of the mutual duties. Let love blossom in the husband's heart. Let love blossom in the wife's heart. And what a great blessing, if both have love blossoming towards the Lord. Let love blossom in the marriage. Husbands, you speak loving words every day. And you wives respond in a loving way as well. Aim at showing forth love one to another. It's mutual duty. Is it not? Love, let it blossom. Ninthly and finally, instruction. Instruction. Interesting words in Titus 2, verse 4 and 5. That they may teach the young woman to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. The older teaching the younger on the principles of marriage. Instructing. For mothers to teach their children before they get married about marriage. For husbands to teach their sons. The instruction for others to teach is so important. This subject is so important. We need to lead by example and instruct others. Let there be much preaching on this subject. That's vital. Instruction. Remember those words in Hebrews 13 verse 4? Marriage is honourable and all, and the bed undefiled. Those words are full of instruction and need to be heard again and again. Oh, that many would be taught from the word of God. Well, may the Lord bless these few things tonight. And as we consider this so vital in subject of marriage, may the Lord help us. May the Lord continue to strengthen the marriages of the couples in the church. May the Lord bless marriage in this land again. May the Lord help us. Amen.